You're tuned into the Jewish Activist Network, and we are now continuing online. In just a moment, please bear with us, and we'll be right with you. You're tuned in online. Our special guest is Rabbi David Eidenson, and we were talking about the Temple Mount on the air on AM 620, and now online we're going to be speaking with Rabbi Eidenson about the idea of should the U.S. government be involved in defining what is a family and so on. Rabbi Eidenson, can you introduce that topic? You had filled me in a little bit about something that happened, some hearings on Capitol Hill, and maybe tied in with this topic of the U.S. government defining what marriage is and what families are.
Well, it's very... It's a very important time now throughout the country at the state level to define what marriage is. New York State just defeated same-sex marriage by a vote of 38 to 24, which was a magnificent victory for the biblical and family people. And people are wondering, how did this happen? Because the governor of New York State was wanted very much to have same-sex marriage, and the majority of the Senate was Democrats, and yet 38 to 24 voted against it, meaning that many Democrats voted against it. And the election for governor in New Jersey went against the Democrat Corzine, who was pro-gay marriage, and Christie was against gay marriage, won. And a Republican beat a Democrat in Virginia. In Maine, the voters voted out a gay marriage bill in Maine against the will of the politicians and against the money. The money was on the gay side. So we see there's definitely a movement on the state level against same-sex marriage. Now, I want to talk tonight about a federal level. As you mentioned, Joe, there's a federal level, and of course, the federal level now, the federal government now is passing laws that do affect gay rights. For instance, it just passed the hate crime bill, and the hate crime bill essentially declares that the government must protect gays against getting beaten. And this is very dangerous because it creates a compelling state interest to protect gays against discrimination. Even though the bill specifically says that this is not to imply implicitly or explicitly that the compelling state interest will now become binding on citizens of the United States in the sense that the compelling state interest would override freedom of religion or freedom of speech. That it doesn't do. But on the other hand, it creates a reality that the government recognizes the need, a compelling need of the government to deal with discrimination against gays. Now, tonight, Joe, I'm going to talk about a different issue. It seems that Obama has nominated a Jewish woman, Chai Feldblum. Feldblum is not just a gay. She's a brilliant lawyer, and she comes from a family, and she has some very radical ideas about marriage. She believes that marriage is not just one person marrying one person. She is not just a person who believes in same-sex marriage. That's not what she believes, in the sense that she surely believes in gay marriage. But it is what she wrote about herself. She said at one time, she said, I am part of a non-sexual domestic partnership with three other women.
What does that mean?
Well, she's it means what it says. She's in a marriage with three other women, and she calls it a non-sexual domestic partnership. There is no sexual relationship among the four of us, but there is an explicit and acknowledged commitment to care among the four of us. And on the internet, you can get this to Wikipedia under Chai Feldblum. And it says, Feldblum argues that such households deserve the same government support and recognition as married mixed-sex couples. So this is a very radical person. She is basically defining marriage. Multiple people, whatever gender, you could have 5, 10, 15 people in a caring group with or without sexual relations, and the government must recognize this as marriage, and the government must support this.
And what would that, on a practical basis, besides, say, visiting rights, one of the group is not well and they're in a hospital, and the hospital says, well, we're only going to allow the spouse to come. So then if there were 15 people in a group like this, all 14, the 14 other people would be able to come and visit in the, what other ramifications would there be besides something like that?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. They want full government recognition of any type of combination of people, any number, and they care about each other and want to be called married. And what practical application that would have, I don't know. As you mentioned, it's pretty weird. Now, what bothers me, this woman has been, of course, now there's a tremendous tumult now, because President Obama has nominated her to a senior position at the Employment...
Equal Employment Opportunities Commission, is that right?
Right. Oh. And if she is given at the EEOC, she is nominated, and she has a national pulpit, or she has a forum to discuss her radical ideas, and it would be backed by the force of anti-discrimination. This would be a devastating thing. In the year 2007, 40% of children born in America were born to a mother who was not married. We're talking about not little children in the teens who made a mistake and got pregnant. We're talking about mature women who decided to do away with marriage.
I just want to mention, can I give an example? I don't mean to, I don't want to interrupt the flow of what you're saying, but in our shul, there's a woman who comes, and she wanted a baby, so she's got two babies, I think, from different men. She's not married. It's the reality. She brings them to shul, beautiful little kids, but what can I say?
Yes, and it's one thing when you look at this, and you're already a mature person, and you know it's wrong. But when you see this and you're a child, you look at this and say, this is part of the reality of the world. This is the way people are. And this is devastating for children's respect for marriage. And when children grow up, they don't have the support from society to stick it out in a marriage, in a family, because they're thought, look, do your thing. Do get married. Don't get married. Now, the children born out of wedlock are lacking the support of a family, the biblical family. And these children will grow up missing something, and that will affect their emotional well-being.
100% what you're saying, because they're young ladies who go to a girls' yeshiva here, and they're about 13, 14 years old, and they're having a great time with these little kids because there's no father. The mother is all by herself. And so the girls are carrying the little babies around, at the kiddush after davening. They're having it's like a toy for them, and they're pretending to be the mother they carry around, and the mother doesn't care. She's glad to have somebody else helping for a little while. So these young ladies carry these babies around. And I can see what you're saying. It can have a corrosive effect on them unless we explicitly tell them that, on the one hand, we don't want to, you know, turn this woman away and turn these Jewish children away. The children are clearly Jewish. And have, you know, we're going to do our best to bring them in, up in this community, make them part of the community. At the same time, we have to maybe explicitly say to these girls, this is not right. And without being mean to the mother, we have to make it clear to ourselves that what she did is wrong.
Well, I completely agree with you, Joe, but it's not so easy to get involved in these things and do these things at a practical level. In fact, it's almost impossible not to confuse children. Here's someone coming to show, a member of the community, an adult, doing things like this, and she comes to show this is the way she serves Hashem, and this is the way she is, a religious person who comes to show like this. In fact, a woman coming to show doing such a thing is a complete disaster, because you can always see these things in the external outer world and say, yeah, that's a disgusting world. But when someone comes to show like this, how do you deal with this?
That's the question.
There's another aspect of this, which the question is, what do we say about this? What do we say about this? And I was asked today by a prominent family organization, what is the response to this? And I wanted to respond as follows. The issue over here of President Obama nominating this woman, Chai Feldblum, to a prominent position in national government is not the problem. Of course, it's a terrible problem, but there's something much worse. And that is, rather than look at what Chai Feldblum does, let's look at what President Obama is doing and what is he saying. Now, we know already what Chai Feldblum said. She says, do away with the strictures and boundaries of marriage. Do whatever you want. And let's make it very clear that there's a war in society between biblical people and radical people. And she says, we the gay lobby, or those who believe that anything can be marriage, any number of people, any combination of people can be marriage, we're going to have a war, a battle, and ultimately she hopes that she will win and destroy the biblical side. This she calls zero-sum or winner-take-all politics. And she is on the side of destroying the biblical family as the entity it is today.
Defining biblical family as a man marrying a woman.
Right. Now again, I don't think that the major problem is Feldblum herself. I think the major problem is President Barack Obama. He was asked, what do you do about you? You've nominated this woman, and there was an outcry from the conservative movement how a person like this could be given a nomination to a senior position in the government when she really wants to make war on family and marriage. So he answered as follows. He spoke to the gay human rights campaign. He said as follows. Nobody in America should be fired because they're gay, despite doing a great job at meeting their responsibilities. It's not fair. It's not right. We're going to put a stop to it. And it's for this reason, if any of my nominees are attacked, not for what they believe, but for who they are, I will not waver in my support, because I will not waver in my commitment to ending discrimination in all its forms, end quote. Now let me just go back and repeat part of it. It's for this reason, if any of my nominees are attacked, not for what they believe, but for what they are, I will not waver my support. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, let's talk about a man who's fired because he's gay. He's doing a great job. Why is it wrong? Because you're firing a person for what he is, not for what he believes. He says, I support Chai Feldblum because those who are against her or against her as a person, not because of her beliefs. Now, this is a complete lie. We are not attacking Ms. Feldblum because of what she is. If she was a deeply religious woman with 25 grandchildren from a traditional marriage, and she would get up and say, let's do away with the boundaries of marriage. Let's do away with the idea that only two people can marry. Let four people marry. Let 40 people marry. We would attack that person not because of what they are, but because of what they believe. And Obama has twisted this and said we are attacking her not for what she believes, but for what she is. It is a very dangerous thing. And here's an example of how the radical agenda is put forth with lies and tricks. This is a bald lie on the part of the President of the United States. He says he misrepresents our position, and he claims that we are attacking a person for what they are and not for what they believe, which is a complete lie. That is the biggest danger.
It's a technique which is used effectively in other parts of the world to silence people, that they say they use these kind of techniques. And some people are trying to introduce it here in the United States. Basically, it's a way of getting around the First Amendment to say that that people are discriminating when they're actually, like you point out, we're trying to focus on the issue of what the person's saying, and that it's alleged against us or in others that we're attacking because of something else entirely, and therefore we shouldn't be allowed to do that. It's basically the president is taking up the banner of trying to silence people and silence criticism of his administration and his policies.
Yes, and it's very frightening when he says that he intends to end discrimination in all its forms. Now, what he defines ending discrimination in all its forms means that anybody who says anything he doesn't like will be called a bigot.
That's it. And we'll have the power of law. He'll try to use the power of law to prosecute people, criticize them.
Well, I don't know if it'll come to that. It might, but he has a bully pulpit, and he will denigrate and take away the legitimate rights of people to make statements about marriage, and they will be depicted as the bigots and the haters, all types of names. When I first got involved in the battle against the gay lobby, because here in Rockland County, there was a meeting called for the problems of women, and I was involved in color bias, family issues, marriage, divorce. I went to the hearing. And I went to the hearing with a friend, who was a very strong man. And we went to the hearing, and I signed up. And whoever wanted to could sign up to speak. So I signed up, and I sat down. The meeting was hijacked by the gays. Why did they hijack it? They didn't want to talk about women. They wanted to talk about a law being passed in New York at that time, which says that gays must have the right to infect with impunity others with AIDS and HIV, which sounds incredible. And I'm listening to these gays hijack a meeting of the county legislature in Rockland County and insist on speaking one after the other. Got up and said, we have the right. No one can stop us from having sex, even if we're infected.
In other words, there's like a general law that if somebody has an infectious disease, they have to stay away from others. And they were saying that they should be exempt from that particular law or regulation.
Right.
Okay.
Now, incredibly, they succeeded. Incredibly, the New York State government passed the law taking AIDS and HIV off of the list of infectious diseases so that when Mr. Gay goes around infecting people or killing them with HIV and AIDS, there's no police power to stop him. If he goes around with an infectious disease that is listed on the infectious disease list, he can be arrested. He can be incarcerated or chained to a hospital bed.
Quarantined.
Quarantined. Huh. Yes, quarantined. But now nothing can be done about someone with HIV or AIDS. And indeed, the gays wanted this because they had bad houses and they wanted to be left to their own devices. There was a case a couple of years ago. One man had infected dozens of people.
Mm-hmm.
And he infected women. They didn't know he had HIV. Mm. So in New York State, there's not very much that can be done about these things. So when I heard this, mm-hmm. I got up. It was finally my time to speak. And I said, if you want to have gay rights, you want people to respect you, then you have to have respect for human life. You can't get up and say, I want freedom to kill people. I said, if I protest gays killing people, and if that makes me a bigot, so I'm a bigot. That's what I said.
Hmm.
Now, what the legislature did then, they printed up a letter about this hearing, and they sent it around, and it said there that that I had come down and confessed that I was a bigot. This is the power of the people that have the printing press.
So it was
government.
So whoever wrote the article up basically twisted and distorted things.
Absolutely. Now, I had the last laugh because not long afterwards, I ran the county executive in Rockland County. Rob Bonham told me to do it on the condition that I wouldn't win. It didn't win an Orthodox Jew running the county, but they knew. I ran it on one of the small parties. Just an opportunity to speak out about moral issues.
You put the topic on the agenda for the other parties.
Right.
Okay.
So when I ran for county executive, so I was part of every debate.
Mm-hmm.
At every debate, I said over this story, I said, this has been done by Harry Cornell, the chairman of that, whatever she did this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is what goes on. Who pays for this lie about me? Tax dollars. So people who control the government take tax dollars and they smear people they don't like. People mm-hmm. who are different than them and their thoughts and politics.
How many, by the way, how many votes did you get? If you want to share with us.
Well, I got a few thousand votes.
Impressive.
But the main idea was in that election, there was a Democrat and a Republican, and the Democrat, you can imagine, was very left, and the Republican was more to the right.
Mm.
So the vast number of voters in Rockland County are Democrats, but I think I had a role in helping the Republican win, and he did win.
He did win. Mm.
And every debate, so I attacked the pro gay and other immoral things that I felt were going on in politics. So I felt that I made some kind of an achievement in that. But the main achievement was something else. When I came out, I attacked the gay lobby for this infectious disease. The situation. So it was put on the front page. Rabbi attacks the gay lobby. It was a shock. Rabbi attacked the gay lobby. So then the editor of the editorial page wrote that I'm a Nazi. Rabbi Einstein is a Nazi.
Which publication was this?
Rockland Journal News.
Rockland Journal News, okay.
I got it, but now, this was exactly what I needed because I had an opportunity not to reply.
Uh-huh.
So I wrote a letter to the editor. They had to publish it.
Okay.
And I said, you're calling me a Nazi because I don't want people to go around killing people. I don't want gays to affect people who raise that makes me a Nazi. I said, you call me a Nazi when my wife was a Holocaust survivor. She was born in the Lita ghetto. So eventually, the people at the paper, the editors, they began to be friendly. They liked what I had to say. And in fact, they invited me to speak at the Bear Mountain Retreat from the editorial board with the reporters, whatever. They have a retreat once a year in Bear Mountain here. They invited me to speak, and I had then a cable television show, and the editor, the chief of the paper, he appeared on my television show. So this is an important thing because why do I mention this? I want to bring out, of course, about what the government can do in terms of twisting things. But there's a lot that we could do if we go out there and get into the paper and talk to people and get our positions out and go into the politics in a proper way, then we can do a lot because the gay lobby got where it is They ran out of the closet with the despised minority, and it went into the political process, and it went into the media process, and it succeeded. And we have to do the same thing. We have to go out and go into politics, and this has been going on now in New York and in New Jersey, that yeshiva students and Hasidim are going into the legislature and talking to politicians and saying we don't want things that fire.
You were tuned into the Jewish Activist Network, our guest this evening, for our exclusively online segment from 1 a.m. to 1:30 is Rabbi David Idenson. Rabbi Idenson, we have a number of listeners. I want to invite them to call us at 718-569-0921 if they want to be part of our discussion. We're going to be on for another 5 minutes. And if you'd like, you may also give out your contact information, how people can contact you tomorrow during regular business hours if they want to call you or email you, if you want to share with us your telephone and email address.
If they want to contact me by email, it's ddeid@verizon.net.
Okay, D and three D's as in David, and then EID
at Verizon.net.
Verizon.net. Okay. So what you're saying is that in this new battle which is coming up, which is where people try to redefine marriage way beyond any parameters that we're familiar with, and basically attack marriage, that using the tried and true techniques that you implemented in the past, such as being in the media, running for office and contacting the legislature, that we can have an impact that way, that it does work. And I guess bayamim ahem bazman hazeh, it worked for you in the past, and we have to keep up the fight in every generation and every year, it seems, as new battles pop up.
Well, Joe, I just want to mention that when the New Jersey was dealing with recently with the election for governor and for the same-sex marriage, the New York Times had a front-page article mentioned a yeshiva student in Lakewood that had gone into the state house and protested against the same-sex marriage act, and the Associated Press took a picture of three obviously Haredish Jews with beards and black coats who were also involved in this. And this made a tremendous impression on people that at least we see that the grassroots Orthodox are getting involved in this issue.
It was a Kiddush Hashem. Is there any way to find out? Is there any way to find out who they are and sort of line up with them and work with them and join forces? Just the knowledge, I guess, that there are people that they were from Lakewood, these people, or
some were from Lakewood, some were from Muncie,
mm-hmm.
And people are beginning to wake up. It's not necessarily an organization. Sometimes people just put out flyers,
mm-hmm.
and really we should have a. Like other organizations have a place with a telephone but it's a little more primitive than that. It's really just started. Unfortunately, it's so grassroots that it's just getting organized. We have all types of Jewish organizations, but almost none of them are interested in this issue.
We have just about 2 minutes left. Can you?
I just want to say one more thing.
Sure.
When the gay issue has been going on for many years, and basically the Jewish organizations are not interested in it. Now with the SSM, and also with the reality that the grassroots are now taking up the slack left by the organizations who didn't want to get involved in this, the major organizations now have to face up to the fact that if they don't get involved in this, they're going to be left behind, and I haven't noticed recently that some major organizations are getting involved in the fight against SSM, so that's a positive achievement. The grassroots is causing some major organizations to change their posture and to actively fight the gay lobby.
At the time of Hanukkah, you know, the whole Greek culture, if I'm not mistaken, that homosexuality played a central role in Greek culture. And so it seems to me that the battle is ongoing every generation to, that it's gone maybe to another higher level here. I think the Greeks, at least on the surface, or their culture, was that a man married a woman. What he did in the gym and other, and their sports and everything else, that was part of their culture. But I think what's going on now may, in some ways, is maybe worse what happened then. It's more along the lines of what was going on in the Dor HaMabul, the time of the flood, and maybe our battle in some ways is, let me just say, it's no less important and no less great what we have to achieve in our time. Thank you very much for being with us, Rabbi Eidenstein, and thank you to our listeners who tuned in online to the Jewish Activist Network. Tune in next week on the air on AM 620 at 12:30 a.m. and continuing at 1 a.m. to 1:30 as we did now online. And if you'd like to be in touch with Rabbi Eidenstein, email him at DDD, that's 3 D's as in David Eidens, E-I-D, as in Eidenson. So again, it's DDD, E-I-D, at Verizon.net. Till next week, this is Joe Orloff for the Jewish Activist Network. Laila Tov.